You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Now, let's return to the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, on TalkZone.com.
We're talking about the use of the performing arts to motivate young people into positive behavior. We're talking to C. Brian Williams, founder of Step Africa, headquartered here in Washington, D.C., and we're joined by Omar Jawar, founder and executive director of Vision Regeneration from Dallas, Texas. Welcome you both again. And I want us to continue this discussion because I think what you have provided is some very useful insight that a lot of these hip-hop artists didn't sit down and strategically decide, well, we're going to pollute the culture.
Right.
we're going to create gangsters out of inner city kids through our songs.
Right.
What you're saying that they just said, I need to survive, pay some bills, and this is an alternative to drug trafficking.
That's exactly right.
Well, even though some of them blended the two, but that's another issue.
Right.
But what you're saying is that it's just something that that occurred naturally within the culture, but after a while you have found that they are driving the culture and influencing the behavior, the dress, the nature of the interaction between kids and their peers, kids and adults, kids in school, kids and the police, that all of these transactions that are taking place between our young folks are heavily influenced by these cultural influence. And what you are saying is that we must take steps to provide an alternative to this. And tell us a little bit about where you're going with this. I know, Omar, you have something called Positive Exchange.
Yes.
As one very powerful instrument. Tell us what is Positive Exchange and just where is it going?
Good. Positive Exchange is a social network that has the same capabilities, the same software as Facebook, MySpace, all of that. But it's done from our perspective. So it's very urban, it's very hip, but it's absolutely positive. So the dialogue with the young people, it'll be filtered but not structured. It gives them the freedom to be what they want to be. Mm-hmm. But it's a social networking tool that we use. And that is to just gather more people who have the same idea, just so they can free their minds and not feel so isolated when mm-hmm. they want to change the culture. And then inside of that, we have Exchange Television, which is a television show that CBS just produced here in Dallas, and it was a great show mm-hmm. Where we exposed the best in urban culture. This show, our first show, was called Gangs versus Hoods, and if you go to positiveexchange.com, you can see it. Mm-hmm. It says Gangs versus Hood, and so it's giving some ideas about what's the difference in repping your hood and the gang, the difference, and mm-hmm. all of that kind of stuff. Our next show, which we will tape December 19th, is called Beauty versus Sexuality. Is mm-hmm. there a difference in why are young girls being forced to be sexual mm-hmm. and why do they equate that with beauty, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of thing that we're doing. And we really want to attach this idea to the movement, Bob, that you do, what Step Africa is doing. We want to mm-hmm. attach the movement to say, here are viable alternatives to the culture that you feel
yes.
that you are captured by.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is such a great conversation to have because what you're trying to say is, which what you're saying, which I think is so amazing and so needed, we've got to create a new celebrity for Black America.
Yeah.
For urban
Ooh,
America.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the current administration will help and what he's going to do in terms of the imagery. But quite honestly, we've got to create an alternative to celebrities that we've seen. We've got to make responsibility attractive. We've got to make academic achievement cool. And we talked about this for years. I've heard different campaigns, social marketing campaigns and whatnot. But really, we've got to find examples. I hope that Step Africa can be one example mm-hmm. of a potential, quote-unquote, celebrity that is really actually very, very grounded in the community and practices what it preaches in terms of, you know, good values that really all of us need to practice. And it's nice to hear about this, but we've got to make it hot, to say it simply.
Now, Omar, take us into a studio and just set it up for us. Describe, you get 50 to 100 young people walking into a room for one of your tapings. Tell me, what would the listener see and what would the listener hear?
Yeah, see, when you come to an exchange summit, we call that an exchange summit, and we'll have a DJ, one of the hottest DJs in the city. We have a celebrity host that's hosting the show, and we have a topic. And these young people are there, and they are the ones who are filtering the topic. So the topic may be, you know, is it cool to be you? You know, what does your idea of you look like? So that's the topic that floats the whole way. But at the same time, you have internet hubs where people are blogging and chatting about it. And then you have a show where young people get up and do their thing, whatever their thing is, as long as it's positive. Mm-hmm. And at the end, and then almost like a commercial break during the show, you have this topic floating, and you give people the mic. And sometimes the topic can go serious, and sometimes it can go light. But what it leaves you is feeling the euphoria of entertainment. And, you know, when I was working in the prison, there was a young dude who was a big guy, man. He looked like Mike Tyson, 16 years old. He said, "Omar, my reality is so bad, I need my fantasy to keep me alive." See, and so when young people are trying to get into their fantasy, and this fantasy that we give them, or this euphoric world of celebrating life, that don't leave you pregnant. That don't leave you on dope. That don't leave you wanting to kill somebody. It leaves you on a high that you can sustain when you leave us. So that's what you'll get when you come to an exchange summit.
And
go ahead.
What's so fascinating about this, I have to say this too, like when he talked about the young person who requested, who's talking about, in my reality is so tough. So why does our media have to be so negative? Why do all the things that are supposed to give us fantasy experiences, like the movies that are out right now, have to be so negative in nature? Yeah, why does our fantasy have to reflect our reality? Where is our fantasy? You know, Hollywood was created back in the day, originally, they say, to actually create fantasy and great stories for people to aim up to and create, versus these negative stories that sometimes are inundated in the African-American community. They are kind of incomplete images or negative imagery. We need something to aim for, something great.
Right.
I mean,
the only way, you know, man, I'll never forget, Bob came to the prison one time to speak to all of my guys, and this is 600-700 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob said, let me just say this at the beginning. Now one of y'all are political prisoners. You know, you did it. and the brother got shot up and said, "Hey man, wait a minute." But he said, "Before we can get into what you want, let's get to who you are."
Right.
See, and a lot of times we get to what we want before we tackle who we are. That's why you got these twisted fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't understand their responsibility. I tell young people, I say, a weight on you does not keep you from flying.
Mm-hmm.
That just gives you a direction when you are seeing.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you just floating in the air, wind can take you anywhere. You need some weight on you. You know, I don't want my daughter to say, "Dad, I had fun," and, "Oh yeah, 9 months later, this little old more." No, we don't supposed to go that far in the fun. Fun's supposed to stop somewhere. And we have to not just allow these young people to assume that these cultural icons right now are the truth. These guys ain't even, they don't even have the discipline. I love what you said earlier about the discipline it takes to be a dancer. They don't have the discipline to lead you. They playing with you and just reinforcing basic emotional values, and that don't work when you're dealing with a complex human.
And what you all are doing through your example is really educating the society about how to deal with this issue.
Yeah.
And I have found that young people are just hungry for positive images.
Yes,
yes.
But they're not giving it to them. And everyone thinks you've got to pander. I was thinking of some of the black scholars at Princeton and give aid and comfort to hip-hop artists who denigrate women and celebrate sexuality and say, well, this is a part of the culture that the kids' expression, you know, but it traditionally in black America, songs never reflected the reality of life.
Mm-hmm.
It always reflected the hope. Even during slavery or discrimination, I didn't hear any songs celebrating slavery or discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I mean, I didn't hear anybody say, oh, picking this cotton is so much fun, or, you know, that was their reality. But songs never express reality. Songs always express hope. Mm-hmm. Lift every voice and sing. Let every heaven ring. And even I was blessed to grow up during the doo-wop era when it was When We Get Married.
Right. Completely different imagery.
And I'll love you forever, or Soldier Boy, when you return from the war, we'll get married.
Yes.
And it was all about these kind of images where the culture was on the side of life.
Yes. That's exactly right, man. But that's exactly what young people, they gravitate to. For the last 10 years, man, I've been doing something called Tuesday the Night Hype, where we bring all these young people from around the city, all teenagers and young adults. We get 5 buses. We bring them in here. We have a DJ, and it's all about life and hope and goodness. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have Tuesday the Night, my phone ring off the hook saying, what's up, man? You gave up on me? Because they want this. They love it. You know, this is no allegory. In 10 years, and I've had rival gangs and all of that, I've never had one fight wow. in that place. Never. Because there is a spirit of hope, a spirit of life, man. And it penetrates you. It makes you believe what you can't see, but it keeps you marching, and you don't look at the darkness that you're in. You see the light ahead. And all of those are philosophical principles that you got to fuse back into the minds of young people, because if they look at their reality, they're going to say, this is a dark place. But you got to tell them it's not a permanent place. Mm-hmm. This is just a temporary issue. And so, these guys don't even have the capacity to say that, man. So I'm right there with you. You know, so let me stop, because I'm getting preachy and got serious.
No, but Omar, also share with our listeners what happens on New Year's Eve. You have had New Year's Eve parties, but what's different about your New Year's Eve party versus some of the others that are around?
Yeah, Brian, you're going to love this.
Yes.
Now, at New Year's, we have a New Year's Eve party for all the young people. And again, we usually have a Christian hip-hop DJ, and mm-hmm. we have different spoken word artists and all that. And we let the young people buy all, you know, we have a bar, but it's more of a coffee bar. We have stuff that don't have no alcohol in it, and we have bottles of apple cider, and we have young people celebrating and hugging. And then we allow them to get on the mic and say one reason why next year is going to be better than this past year.
Mm-hmm.
And they celebrate with each other. And it is a fascinating thing, because you see dudes who got $5 buying a bottle of apple cider. This for the whole table. Like, I said, oh, you a baller. He's buying apple cider and popcorn. And I just
popping bottles, apple cider. I love that.
Yeah, man. And we let them have a great time. And they leave saying, Mr. Obama, man, thank you, bro. You know, because they can leave and go home, and their mothers celebrate that they celebrated with us. Not worried that they're going to leave out drunk and get killed in an accident. You know, so we push that idea. So,
yeah. We got to remind, I love the concept. I love the idea. I love the practice. I mean, we have to remember that, you know, give people, young people, their childhood back in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the problem now is the media does, I listen to it all the time, popular culture does push just a very adult experience for very young people. And it really is unfair, so we've got to counter that. And we're not going to change that, you know, with our own efforts, but we can aggressively push the alternative.
Yeah.
Make it just as attractive, just as fun. I mean, they can wait on so many of those things that are promoted to them daily, and we just have to let them see that waiting is okay, and that there's still so much fun to be had in their immediate surroundings, and there's no need to aim for anything else.
But I think what you just said is powerful, that how do we teach young people to wait?
Mm-hmm.
One of my mentors, Sister Falaka Fatah in Philadelphia, who I've learned so much about gang intervention and reaching young people, right outside, next to her office, there was an empty room with a bed and a table.
Mm-hmm.
And when a young person comes off the street to come into the house, Yamoja, she lets him go into this room and lay on a bed and rest.
Mm-hmm.
She said that our young people must learn to rest and be a child again. Because in that room next to her office, they know it's safe. And they are not going to be assaulted. No one's going to steal from them. And there were just so many subtle things that she did. She would have mediation sessions in a kitchen because she says kids will fight when they're drinking together, but not when they're eating together. And so all of our sessions where we are doing mediation starts with a meal. There's so many subtleties in our culture that speak to and influence the behavior of our children that we pay very little attention to it. And what both of you are saying to us is that you pay attention to all of the subtle influences that affects a child's ability to make a decision and to embrace a choice. And the way you do that is really listen to what they are telling you by their actions. And then you're collecting these and then expressing them in your work. In other words, what I hear you saying, you're playing back to the young people some of the lessons that young people are teaching you. Is that a fair characterization?
Well, if I could say, I think whenever for South Africa has a, you know, a dance company and arts organization specifically, whenever we create works, I always keep the audience in mind. And I'm always thinking about, especially young people, when they look at the dancers on the stage, what I want them to feel, what I want them to be inspired by, what I want them to think and see, you know? So if I'm doing a work, I want them to see that we are strong. If I'm doing a work, I want them to see that we love who we are. And how do I create works that demonstrate that to young people? We want to always inspire, and clearly that the work that Omar is doing is keeping that in mind as well. So that is always at the front of my mind, is how this work will impact and inspire.
Yes, I mean that's I'm right there with you, man. You couldn't have said it better myself. That's what it is, man. We are saying to those people that these young folks say are their heroes, and so even if they have the characteristics of a villain, we say, let's try to change them. If they say hip-hop is my entree into my world, we say, well, let's give the same type of choreography and beat and idealism, but let's take it to another level. So, yeah, and then young people respond to the idea that they are strong, not to pitying them because they are weak.
Hold on to that thought. We're talking about using the performing arts to engage young people and inspire them into positive paths. We'll be right back after these messages.